We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Heat win! Heat win! Two in a row. I mean, what is going on? It feels great. Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to break down the big game for you. In a little while here, not really. None of us are football experts. The Heat come away with a victory, 109-103. They beat the New York Knicks, who have actually been playing good basketball lately. So I know we want to just make fun of the Knicks, say, oh, this is not a great win. This is actually a good win. You go on the road, early game, a lot of excuses could have been made. They come out, they play a good game, they win. You know, they sent, you know, they survived the Julius Randle game and the Reggie Bullock turning into freaking Klay Thompson. But bring me out, Brass. Let's introduce the panel. We're going to do a quick one today because everyone wants to get to their huge indoor Super Bowl parties with 30 or more guests because that's a smart thing to be doing during COVID. So first, the intrepid producer, Brass, what are you drinking today?
What's up, everybody? Listen, it's day drinking. So it's day drinking. I gotta play with my kids after this. So I'm drinking a Stone IPA. I'm taking it easy.
Listen, today, guys. Nobody blames you, bro. It's 3:30 on a Sunday. Like, who would be drinking vodka? That's weird. Siobhan, what's going on? What are you drinking today?
Same thing. Jack Rye and some cranberry here. And I got some Jose next to me just in case I feel
ready to go. Siobhan, honestly, I just want to be with you when I grow up is really my goal.
Like, it was a pretty decent win. I'm excited.
I think people are going to downplay it because it was against the Knicks because of who the Knicks are historically.
Well, the Knicks have been, right?
Yeah, but the Knicks have been playing good basketball this year, playing great defense. And I think I think Miami played – it was a good game. Gianni,
what up?
Host of Miami Heat Beat, an anime enthusiast.
Plug the pod, Gianni.
Host of subtitled anime and Miami Heat Beat. You can check us out on Spotify and all your pod apps. Remember, we record podcasts on off days.
No one cares.
So anytime there's no hangover time, we have a Heat Beat pod. Well, you what know, Alka-Seltzer. I'm hungover. I don't feel well. So I'm having.
What a great answer.
I put some Alka-Seltzer.
I love that.
I'll allow it.
I did that pregame show quite hungover. I mixed not just gin, tonic, Crystal Light, and an array of rums. Whatever beer was in the back of my fridge, some brewery I've never heard of.
What was going on?
Yeah, what was happening?
Saturday night, poor planning, COVID, you know, just... Yeah, I woke up to like 90 group chat messages across, you know, 5 group chats. So I have a lot of catching up to do.
I want to be alarmed by the amount of liquor, but you lost me at Crystal Light. So I don't.
I mean,
you know, with Solana mixing.
But like, exactly. You know, I ran out of
bartender.
I ran out of gin and tonic. I ran out of gin and I was like, well, what do I have? And then I had the beer. I was like, why? I have rum here, but I don't have any soda. And I kind of like was looking in my cupboard.
Okay, that's too much Gianni already. Yeah. Christian,
what are you drinking? Casamigos Blanco with one giant rock.
Beautiful. I love it.
Ice rock, right?
Yes.
A rock. Okay, just
what?
Okay. No, never mind. Rock reference. Never mind. Let's keep going.
Clip that. Jack, in the corner, Weird Al, host of the Weird Al free game show.
I've got a
freshly shaven, by the way, baby face Jack.
Yeah, really.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Somehow you look like more of a pedophile without the mustache, which I don't know.
Like.
Yeah, you're like a pedophile on witness protection.
Like, you're trying to pretend you're not a pedophile right now, and no one's falling for it. I'm sorry, Jack.
I really regret doing this now. I really regret it.
What are you drinking?
What? I've got a beer somewhere over here. I think I put it in the next room. I'm gonna get the beer when I'm not talking. So
he's gonna go in the next room and cry.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go for the next hour. It's okay.
Sorry, Jack. I'm on my fault. And now the chat is just gonna go in on you.
Yeah.
Like, and I know it's about to happen. It always happens once we start the roast session. It usually happens around 20 minutes, but I started early today. I think we're doing a short show. But like I said before, I think this was actually a really, really good win on the road. A day game. You know, these are always weird. Super Bowl day, like. These are always weird games, and there's a lot of excuses that can be made of why they lost this game. We got a win streak, someone said in the chat. That's 2 games in a row. Siobhan, I think there's a lot of good things to take away from this game. What did you see? What did you like?
I think we saw Bambi the type of versatile and diverse in his attacks that I know I personally kind of asked for from him. We saw him knock down the jump shot, but we saw him be finesse, but in an aggressive way, attacking to the basket. I think the zone looked really good. It corrected itself a lot when it found itself misshapen. What else? And I just like that they found a way to, not found a way, but yeah, kind of find a way. They found a way to hang on to a game that they, you know, maybe traditionally you could have let go the rope of. Jimmy got to the line at the end, slowed it down, steadied it. And like you said, the Knicks are a good team. You know, they have a lot of size. They have the type of size that I quite personally kind of like in a player. But I just think it was a solid win against a team that we want to believe we should be beating.
And I think you put it well. Like, it's a team that you expect them to beat, right? Yeah. Johnny, 94-94 with 5 minutes left. It was like, mm-hmm. Are the Heat going to be the team that we watched last year who would close out these games? Jimmy Butler would just go nuts usually in that type of situation. Or are they going to be this team that we've seen this year who will just basically let the other team go on a 13-2 run and then we're walking away like, what the fuck just happened, right? Where there's a lot of Andre Iguodala threes and just empty possessions, turnovers. It was 94-94 with 5 minutes left. Which means the Heat, you know, outscored them 15-9, basically. And one of those 2 points from the Knicks came at the end of the game. So 15-7, basically, you know, they closed out a game. Jimmy got, like Siobhan said, Jimmy got to the line. They did the right things at the end of the game. Spo was switching out Kelly for Iggy, offense, defense, things that we've been screaming for. I felt like this was one of their – this was one of the most impressive closing, you know, crunch time performances. Like, we call it the butter situation.
They look good, and I think defensively they were pretty solid like the whole game. And I think that like Julius Randle shot an absurd percent. The butter zone. shout out to the Deuces. They played good defense, I thought, all night. I think that they have to shore up the rotations on like the corner threes like that. I think when Jimmy was in that spot, like as the help man off to the corner, I thought it looked a lot better, which they did more of in the second half. So that, I mean, he's an amazing help defender. I think having him off ball is going to be like a long-term thing. I thought the trapping was interesting. I thought they only really got burned by it once when that Taj Gibson kind of short rolled to Mitchell Robinson cutting in. But I thought the defense was like really solid the whole game. And the Knicks have the seventh ranked defense in the league. And I thought the Heat were doing a pretty good job of scoring and kind of getting when they wanted. Even though Jimmy didn't really have like a good shooting game, you could tell that like he was getting into the paint, the defense, everything Siobhan said, absolutely right. And they closed with Duncan today. And I thought that after that game that they lost against the Wizards and they kept Duncan on the bench, which was kind of weird. And they played like that weird. Yeah. He's been closing lately. And I think that that's really good for them. And I think that they finally got to a place where they know how to play Tyler and Duncan together again, which to me, like that's the long-term takeaway of today.
Christian, like Gianni was saying, they closed with Duncan, which was good to see. Right. Because even when Duncan isn't hitting shots, he makes the offense better. You've been talking about it a lot. Like I think there's a lot of misconceptions about like Tiff, Siobhan, and I, and others on this show have said that you don't pay Duncan next year because I mean, $20 million for a guy who is literally like your fourth or fifth best player is a tough pill to swallow. But none of us has said that Duncan stinks or Duncan doesn't belong on the floor. Duncan belongs on the floor, just because he makes the offense run better. And we saw this team execute at the end of a game like we haven't seen them recently, because instead of Duncan out there, there's been a lot of Iguodala, you know, Iggy and Kelly together. And it's just been really, really like disjointed and mm-hmm. weird. But they were able to run their normal offense because Duncan was out there.
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, I think the biggest concern that you have with the roster makeup that they have right now is, and it's something that I've pointed out to frequently on Twitter, is we now have a pretty large sample going back to last year of Duncan and Tyler together. And the defense is not good when they're
horrendous.
Together. It's horrendous. I was trying to be gentle, but like it's not good. Obviously, the offense is pretty strong, but it's not compensating for how bad the defense is. So that's where your concern is. Tonight, I got pretty worried because at the 9-minute mark, Spo went with Vincent Hero Robinson in a one-possession game. And I immediately panicked. But they immediately went into a zone defensively, and they got away with it. Like, they eventually went away with it. I think the Knicks actually tied the game, and then Spo called a timeout, and then he brought Jimmy back in the game. But that is where the concern lies in terms of paying Duncan long-term, is if Tyler's still going to be on the roster, playing those two together has – proven to be a bit of an issue, like in terms of winning basketball games.
I mean, absolutely. Tonight it looked good, but I mean, like you said, the larger sample size says it's not a good it's not a good defensive duo to put on the floor. But you know, when you can do offense, defense, and bring in a guy like Iggy, and you're surrounding those two guys, Jack, with Jimmy, Bam, and Iguodala. And then you have those two shooters, Tyler and Duncan, out there. Like, that's a formidable lineup. But one of the things I saw they were getting away with a lot is they had Iguodala on Mitchell Robinson. Not every team is going to present that kind of opportunity to have Iggy out there guarding a guy like Mitchell Robinson, who's so limited offensively, where you don't have to so much worry about that size issue. So, I mean, like, going forward, if Goran's out for a long time, is this – the closing lineup do you want to see with Spo switching, or just something else that you want to see Spo go to?
I think for now, like with the current roster construction, this is probably the right closing lineup. I think you got it, hit the nail on the head with they did well against the Knicks, and the Knicks aren't scrubs. They're better than they've been. I think the Tibbs Knicks look pretty good. They're a legit team to contend with, but I think this is, if you're going to look at this positively, I think it was a good win, not a great win. You could kind of hope they're building themselves back up, right? Like, they look better than they did in the Wizards game, I think. They're playing a better team. I think they're slowly starting to figure things out. I think they still have a ton of problems. Like you said, like, a player better than Mitchell Robinson on offense would have made them pay for something like that. And they have better teams coming up that are going to make them pay, that the zone's going to be less effective against. But what you're hoping, I guess, is that the more time you get with Jimmy and Bam and some continuity, and I mean, we haven't talked about Nunn yet. Credit to Nunn, he was really great at allowing that continuity, at allowing Hero to stay on the bench and kind of filling in for Goron. He's been really good, and that's super important for them. So what you hope is that they can kind of build on this and continue to kind of claw their way back to some semblance of what they were last year, because I still don't think they're there yet.
Well, I think that's what we're like looking for, right? Them getting better incrementally. Because like at this point, you know, expecting them to go on a 7-8 game winning streak is kind of pie in the sky, or expecting them to blow out a team like the Knicks. They're not that team right now. They haven't shown that kind of consistency. So for Heat fans to expect a blowout in a 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon game is just it's kind of what team have you been watching all year? So like you said, Jack, them getting incrementally better one game at a time is a kind of thing that starts rolling together and starts win streaks. And winning 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 6 is a kind of thing that this team needs to get going. And I think the move to Tyler at the bench has been, Siobhan, I'll ask you, like, I think that's, we've been screaming that he's not a point guard. You guys are laughing. I'm not reading the chat. I see some good Jack jokes. I'm going to go back.
I mean, that's
Jack come back looking like Andy Moreno. That's great. That is really great. But Siobhan, we've been screaming that Tyler is not a point guard. You put Tyler on the bench, he gets to do what he does best. 16 points tonight on 7 of 13 shooting, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He just came out there and just played loose.
Yeah, it's what I was talking about the other day, and it alludes to what G was talking about earlier, right? he's not a starting caliber point guard. And he's not well enough. He's not good enough, sorry, as a defender to mask that, right? So when you start him and Duncan against other starting NBA offenses, you're taking other teams' best shot immediately with two subpar defenders. So what moving him does, Kendrick's not that great of a defender, but he gives you just a little bit more, maybe grit, I don't know. But what moving Tyler does is it makes that hit defensively a little less, and it steadies your offense. Maybe you don't get that same big hit in the beginning, right? But you're able to have a steadier, more consistent flow of some income of points.
I mean, Kendrick Dunn giving you 16,
and yeah, and that's fantastic. Like, he's giving you stuff too, and he's doing it calmly. Like, it's a much calmer presence. I think guys are finding they have more space. I feel like probably more mental space too. You don't have to worry about, you know, like guys gotta get their shots to get going, to get momentum. No, when you stagger them, you kind of build in the space in other lineups for those guys to be more potent in what it is that they're able to do and what they give us more naturally.
And I know you like me are not the biggest Nunn fan. But if he can come in and give you, you know, let's not say 16 points every night, but double digit scoring, like, this is one of those games that we were used to last year with six guys in double digits, right? I think that's always like the key to their success, like spreading out the scoring. Like, you don't want, not that you don't want a 30 point scorer, but you don't want, you know, Jimmy out here scoring 38 at the expense of the entire offense, like. It just felt like it flowed right. But here's the thing. You need Kendrick Nunn to be a reasonable facsimile of Goran Dragic.
Yep.
And do you want to rely on that a lot going forward?
No. I mean, for me, the thing with Kendrick is that if the pull-up is falling, then he's playable. And when his jumper is not falling, he's pretty useless because he has – teams really – lay off of him. They really, because I mean, he's quick. He has a really fast first step. He's like sneaky, like athletic. Like every time he dunks, it's kind of a surprise. He's really.
I never think he's gonna make it.
It's like, and he always like, you know, that little left hand jab. Like that shit comes fast, dude. So he's
the
athletic.
One, the his signature one, right? You know, at the corner of the rim.
Yes.
That somehow he gets over like 7-footers. I never.
That's just kind of crazy. Like low key, like he goes at dudes. Like he goes at dudes. I tweeted the other day. I wish that Bam had that aggression. Could you imagine?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, I mean, but we saw it a few times. Like Bam put his head down, and go to the rim. And like sometimes
it's finesse still, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's still hesitation. It's not bully mm-hmm. ball. And I'm like, dude, get that big ass shoulder in front of that Dwight Howard shoulder, you know, put it in front of somebody and just go to the rack. But I'm not going to complain about Bam, but these things still drive me crazy.
Yeah. That's part of.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like building back though, like if you want like steady progression, I do think he hasn't, like it's been a consistent improvement, yeah. Even in aggression.
Yep.
So like I think we all want it to come along faster. I want it to come along faster, but like I think slowly he is hesitating less. He is getting more aggressive, yep. And he's going to get there. It's just kind of we're impatient right now, and you know they don't really have a lot of time to waste.
Did you hit me with a Biden slogan? Did you say build back better?
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping, and the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
5150. Thank you, Manchin.
Speaking of build back better, we had a butters situation, which
build back butter.
Yep. Brass, do you have anything for that butter situation?
Yeah, we got some audio here, so we're gonna listen to this.
Good awareness too. They call it a butter situation. 5 seconds or less, you got to know the shot clock's winding down. Bam sees the clock, faces up, knocks down that mid-range Jimmy. That one's from 20 feet.
21 points, 9 rebounds for Bam Adebayo. John, why do they call that a butter situation?
Well, they call it butter because you got to butter your bread. I don't know what they call it. It's a slippery situation. How about that?
Quit making me hungry on Super Bowl Sunday. Butter.
What the?
Yo. Great job, Brett.
E-Reed.
E-Reed, that was a dick move, by the way.
No, it was a great move.
E-Reed is on fire.
I was listening to the Knicks stream. I had no idea what was happening.
You didn't hear? Oh, my God. It was a dick move by E-Reed. Because he knew he had nothing for it. I guess he's probably sick of the same shit we are.
Right.
With the, does I call
mean,
that a penetrating
Does this mean Karate's
dribble.
Out the door?
He doesn't.
E-Reed's low-key, like, he's irritable. And he's showing it more and more. I think he's always been kind of this way. I think it was a lot more subtle with Tony. He had more patience for Tony. But I think with Karate, it's breaking.
Not for nothing. Eric would fucking kill it on the show.
He would.
He would be slandering everybody. He'd fit right in.
Did you see how
he's
Eric
a bit of a savage this year, man?
He went at Tibbs for the mask. He's like, I think he's gonna get to get fitted for a bigger mask. I was
at the same time. Did you see all the different ways that Tibbs was wearing the mask wrong?
Oh my god. In New York City, that's a super spreader waiting to happen.
Dude, like, if your nose is out of the mask, what the fuck is the point? Like,
it looks crumpled. I don't know how he had his mask too small and crumpled. It was weird.
He just looked like, honestly, he just looks not put together well.
He doesn't look clean.
He looks like this guy.
No, he's not that smooth baby face.
That's me in like 20 years. Yeah. that's me after 20 years of G.
Wait, hold the fuck up. Put that back on, Bryce.
Someone cut Chris Hansen in half.
Oh my God, that's good. That's good stuff. but yeah, he has never looked more like Despicable Me Gru more than he did tonight. Like, I think he's going to the shitter. Like, E Reed kept calling him out for his mask. E Reed is on some other shit this year, man.
Can we please start the E Reed All-Star pitch? Like, can we send him to Atlanta and just let him be on the Cavs? Let him just roast the rest of the league the way that he talks about it. Please. I'm in favor.
Is he working on stand-up material? Like, what's going on here?
He's working on his post NBA career.
Like he just fucking got tenure. Like, they cannot even fight.
Should we set him up with Joey to maybe get like an improv like debut? Like, I'm sure that Joey can help him out with that.
I feel like he's auditioning for the Inside the NBA job.
Replace Shaq. But
like, could you imagine E. Reed in his current incarnation next to like Shaq and Barkley?
Yeah, take Kenny or Ernie out. Put Eric there. Just full slander lineup.
He must have heard like Ernie's ready to go, and like, he's putting together a motherfucking reel. Like,
yes,
he sent that bitch to TNT. Like, yo,
greatest.
Yo, Brass, can we like put together a reel, like Eric Reed's hypothetical reel for TNT?
Attach it to E Reed NBA All Star. I'm not playing. Yeah, send it.
Let's do it. Okay.
That's a great idea.
I mean, who's the list of the people he's taking down this year? We got Blake Griffin. We got Tibbs. Who else?
We have
Kendrick.
the Alex Len.
Alex,
one was my favorite. Speaking of unemployment, Alex Len cut by the Raptors.
He just kept talking about how he got cut. Like, Jesus, dude.
No, I did not hear that one.
Oh, that was my. He was talking about unemployment, and then he flipped. Speaking of unemployment, graphic comes up. Alex Len cut by the Raptors.
Yeah, he is the master of the transition.
That PJ Washington one was.
Oh, my God.
That might have been the worst, man.
He deserved it. I mean, or the Hassan, the Kings' backup center.
That's the winner.
That one's my favorite. There's some history to that one.
That's a page out of Heat. That's a page out of Heat Twitter. That's what Heat Twitter does to Hassan. They don't call him by name.
Fatty.
It's like Nakia saying HC21.
Yeah,
I think Pat Riley wrote that one down for him. Was like,
on a napkin and slip it to him. Don't you dare say his fucking name. His name is King's backup center all night.
This is Pat Riley in the stands. Just when Eric Reed says that, just...
I think missed opportunity by Brad.
He's in the stands. He's
hey, looks like Knicks agree to a trade to require or to reacquire Derrick Rose. So.
You're a couple hours late.
Knicks.
Damn, we're lucky
Knicks.
We didn't play them a couple days later. We got our asses
kicked.
We played them
agreeing to it, though.
We played them again on Tuesday, so we'll see Derrick Rose.
That's actually interesting because that only cost...
Oh, my God. Eric Reed roasting Derrick Rose? Holy shit. He might bring up the rape case on Tuesday. I mean, Eric Reed is on his shit. He might bring up the rape case on Tuesday.
Fingers crossed, baby.
That'd be wild. I don't know if he wants to throw stones and... No.
He's too close.
He's gonna be like Derrick Rose.
Someone on the Knicks broadcast, I think, brought up one of those guys is like past. I want to say it was Kendrick. Like they were talking about him out of school.
Good.
Who was like got into a little trouble off the court.
Oh, and then you just signed Derrick Rose. All right. Just make sure. I mean, make sure we keep that same energy. Yep. That's all I'm asking.
If that, I swear it was Kendrick. I could be wrong. But I
think just keep that same energy. You know, because Eric Reed's going to be like, Derrick Rose drives to the hole with no consent.
I do expect it to be more like a Blake Griffin style, like, oh, how the mighty have fallen. Yeah. Like, Derrick Rose, once an MVP of the league, now not even good enough to play for the Detroit Pistons.
The rose that grew out of concrete back in New York. Something like
that is honestly exactly something you would say. Back in New York, the rose that grew out of concrete. The true rose in Brooklyn.
I mean, he only went for a second round pick and Dennis Smith Jr. that nobody wants, which kind of makes for an interesting trade market for sellers. So like teams like the Kings, the Magic, the Bulls that are going to be selling off for parts. I think that sets a really interesting market, that it's just a second round pick and a guy that nobody wanted.
I'm surprised G didn't latch on to my going to the hole with no consent joke.
I didn't know if I was allowed to laugh at it.
I think you didn't feel good about that.
I was like, I think it's funny, but I was like, I don't think it's appropriate to laugh. But I was like, but Siobhan kind of laughed, so I was like, that made me feel a little. So I wasn't sure, huh?
I can laugh at it.
You can laugh at it. Yeah. We so I was like, I'm not. I'm gonna sit over here.
I didn't know I choked.
I'm gonna bench myself.
Christian took his face out of the picture.
He did.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of slander,
Jack tried to change the subject.
Yeah. Try to move it along.
And then I came back to it again to make everyone uncomfortable.
We're just gonna sit with this now.
I did. If you guys haven't noticed, it's something I love to do. Like, I just like everyone getting uncomfortable.
Well, there was actually a really good one in the chat. Miami Heat UK called him the Great Wall of Lankside, which, you know, he's British. That's great.
Wow, Shreve this morning. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. The Derrick Rose slander will be hot and heavy on Tuesday. Does all this good feeling go away if they lose Tuesday?
100%. Jack said it best on the pregame. He's like, if they don't put together like an 8-2 stretch, a 9-1 stretch, like this is for nothing. Like they can't. We're done with excuses. Like they got to string together a lot of wins now and get back to 500, especially with this hard schedule. Like they dug themselves into this hole and they got to overperform to get themselves out.
If they don't win Tuesday, then they like. You didn't expect this team to adjust to what you like. You can't adjust on the fly. Like you got to be able to consistently beat bad teams.
Every win is good. Every win is sacred at this point. But, yeah. And sure, the Knicks have played better than in years past right now. But still, they're still the Knicks. So for people saying, oh, well, you know, we can't make this, you know, this was, they were a good team, you know. But at the same time, if we would have lost today, you would have been like, it's the fucking Knicks. Yeah. Lost to the fucking Knicks. So if you're going to have that reaction, maybe it's not that great of a win is all I'm saying.
It's not a good win. But
it is a good win.
No, I think it's a win that they needed.
It's a necessary win, and I think there are there are things that they are building. But, yeah, they have a hard stretch coming up. They have to at least win the games that they're supposed to win and then hopefully win at least like one or two of the games that they're maybe not supposed to win.
It is like, incredible, though, with the coverage of the Knicks because, like – I mean, they're still not a very good team. I mean, I don't. What is their record? I mean, they're
11-14.
Their next 14. 5 games is nuts. It's 11, the Knicks, Houston, Utah, the Clippers, Golden State.
Yeah, so they need that Knicks win because if they don't fucking beat the Knicks, like.
But yeah, Alf said this a couple weeks ago. Like, if you didn't know any better, the way everyone talks about the Knicks right now, you think like, oh man, they must be really good. They must be like, I don't know, like a 4 seed or something like
above
that.
500.
And they're not.
Cleveland
like,
the
this
same.
This wouldn't even hit the refrigerator of like parents of other teams.
Cleveland's been the same. The coverage has been the same.
Different. I think Cleveland's completely different.
I think Cleveland's
really
better.
But they have really good young stars that are going to get a lot better. I don't – this Knicks team, I'm encouraged by them, but, like, it's not like – I don't know. I don't think it's the same as, like, Sexland and, like, Jared Allen.
Yeah.
And, like, Okoro. Like, they all look really good, and they look like good building blocks for a franchise.
All these young – really, all these Mike young guys.
Very scored today.
Yeah, Randall is not on a rookie contract. So
yeah, all these young guys getting better in Cleveland is a lot better feeling than your host, you riding on a hot Julius Randall contract year.
If Obi Toppin was doing this, we would probably.
Exactly. Yeah,
it would be different if Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin. I love
that. It's a funny name.
RJ barely scored with RJ's numbers today. He had like zero in late in the third or something nuts.
But you know what? He's still Obi Toppin.
Did RJ Barrett play today?
He put 3 points in 19 minutes, 1 for 6 from the field, 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 1 steal, turnover.
He sucks.
That's what I'm saying. If Colin Sexton was on the floor, I would know Colin Sexton's on the floor.
Exactly. Yeah. How many times did Eric Reed confuse Alfred Payton for RJ Barrett?
Oh,
I didn't want to say it.
It was a lot.
They don't look alike. Like,
I'm surprised that he didn't confuse him for Reggie Bullock just because of the funny hair situation. I thought that was going to be the mistake he made. I was off guard by the mistake Eric ended up making.
So the Knicks broadcast kept saying Reggie Bullock, really emphasizing.
Yeah.
Did the Heat broadcast.
And okay. That too.
So and I was just like, "That's weird." I mean, there must have been some.
That was a note,
a note, like a memo to broadcast. It's Bullock, not Bullock. Yeah. Because every time they said Bullock, I was like, "What? Like, Bullock. What?" Eric also called Tony Brothers Tony Butler today.
Oh, that was funny.
He was he was on one, man. I'm not sure what was happening.
Maybe he needed Alka-Seltzer like I did.
I was gonna say it was a 1 p.m. start in New York City.
I think the officiating was really good tonight, though. I think Tony Brothers did a really good job.
It was good.
Yeah. Heat, by the way, only 2 games
back.
Are you
trying to set me up?
What?
Like, are you trying to get me going?
I'm just a Tony Brothers simp. I'm just here for all Tony Brothers officiating.
I will say they let them play a lot, which I always like better than a bunch of whistles. I mean, Jimmy earned every trip to the free throw line. And I think at one point, out of 13 free throws, he had shot 10 of them.
Bam earned some. He didn't get called.
Yeah, but on the other side, they were being physical with Randall. They were being physical with Robinson. And I like that. I want to see that kind of game.
Yeah, it was nice to watch.
I thought Duncan looked really good considering how physical. Like, they were grabbing Duncan, and I thought he was still really effective despite the – I mean, they made his life hard, but he was still really good.
Christian, do you want to address the Kelly Olynyk slander? Because you said, like, you came on here like we were being way too hard on Kelly. And I don't think that's the case. Like, and Gianni's a big Kelly apologist. I'm not saying, first of all, Kelly is still their best option at power forward. Mm-hmm. Kelly needs to chuck up that many threes a game, because if you're playing a big next to Bam and you want to keep your offense the same and you want to keep the spacing what it is, like, that's what was so great when Jay Crowder took Myers Leonard's spot, because Jay was never afraid to shoot, and you had to respect the fact that he was chucking from out there. Jay just went crazy and was, you know, career best from three, you know, in his 3-4 months with us. But the timeline is going off on Kelly, and I think deservedly so, because there can't be this many 2-of-9s. You know what I mean? There's a lot of these happening. And then he keeps shooting these, like, off-balance threes, like he's Steph Curry. Like, dude, like, I mean, like, when you're falling out of bounds, it's not the time to chuck up a corner three. But you, I think you come at it from a different angle, Christian.
I mean, because it's not like he's doing anything that's out of the norm for him. Like, okay, yes, it's very easy to get upset a lot of those off-balance three-pointers that he takes, you know, when they don't go in. But a lot of times they do go in. Like, he's a career 37.5% three-point shooter. And yeah, this year he's been off. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, like Al said, he's not afraid to take the shot. And you need that, because he'll have nights like he had last game where, what was he? He was 5-of-8 or 6-of-8 or something from three. Like, and you know, he's a big body, which the Heat need some size out there.
But
like,
he can't rebound worth a damn.
They've been better with Bam and Kelly together. So it's like, yeah, he's gonna have games that are gonna piss you off, and his game looks ugly sometimes, but in the grand scheme of things, he's still a competent basketball player, and that's why he still tends to get a lot of minutes after all these years.
Jack, so, go ahead.
No, I wanted to piggyback Christian with some numbers that Jay Nico 20 tweeted at the Heatbeat account today, that through January 13th, so that was pretty much before all the COVID stuff, he was shooting, Kelly Olynyk was shooting 40% from three on almost 7 attempts. Then January 13th through January 26th, when their whole lineup was sick, he was shooting 16% on 5 attempts. And then since everyone got back, he's shooting 46% on almost 7 attempts. So when he has space and when he's getting the ball delivered to him with a good pass, not a Gabe Vincent kind of reach out, gather, he looks pretty good.
And I, like I said, he needs to shoot him. Like, he, you know, he just does, Jack. Because, like, I look at him throwing up 9 3-pointers and thinking about Myers Leonard starting and shooting 4 threes for the entire game and losing my fucking mind. Like, you can't be out there 16, 18, 20 minutes a game, Myers Leonard, and not shoot the three. There's like, there was one trail three today that he didn't shoot. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And then I was like, wait, I've been slandering the fuck out of this dude for missing. Yeah. But like, when he didn't take that trail three, I was like, come on, bro. Like, he passed out of it. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, this is why you are on the floor. Like, he was like 4 feet back from the 3-point line. But that just creates a whole lot of fucking space for Bam to work. That's so, like, as much as we slander him, like Jack, I mean, like Gianni and Christian are saying, like, he needs to shoot like that.
Yeah, I think you're all, like, absolutely right. He's doing what he needs to do. And he's got kind of like a naturally ugly game. He's a naturally ugly guy. And, like,
whoa! I mean,
I think the argument is more so about roster construction, right? Like, that, like, ideally, they would have a guy like Jay who could play over him, and then you have Kelly, like, being the same kind of guy, but in, like, smaller minutes, and then kind of, you know, I think G kind of said it, when he has less pressure on him, when he has, like, a more minimized role, he's a lot more comfortable, and he looks a lot better because of that. So, like, you know, if you're looking for a fix to this, which I don't think is, like, necessarily a problem, it's just that they need a stronger power forward rotation.
He shouldn't be your best option at the four, yeah. Siobhan, and he is.
He isn't. Or he is your best option, and he shouldn't be.
Because right. KZ Hive has disappeared.
Yeah, after I was a KZ supporter, but you got to be objective. You got to be real. I don't know who had the point a little minute ago about Kelly's spacing above the break being an underrated point. And I think that's really, that is an underrated point. That's a different type of spacing that also allows you to fill the other spaces, i.e. the corner, the other wing, the other corner. And that makes a longer closeout. And so when, you know, we're still moving or when he doesn't have that, that's a more distance to cover. And that, you know, helps weaken defense. So I think that's a good point too.
He can be a more active screener up there too, because like Duncan's always relocating. So like when you're parked in the corner, like you're really not involved in any screen action. And because he's a shooter and because he's a really good roller and finisher, like he's a dual threat. So the screen is a lot tougher to defend.
I loved when he the roll to the basket at the end of the game with the and-one dunk.
Who? Oh, Kelly. Oh.
Kelly. Oh my God. I was like, yo.
G mentioned Duncan. Duncan slipped the screen one time and like would not look at the ball. I'm like, why are you slipping the screen if you're not even gonna turn?
Oh yeah, that pissed me off. That pissed me off.
So much. And he was open, but yeah, Kelly yammed on him.
Yeah, that was. I was like, more of that. Like, you know, the Kelly. Like, there's no Kelly keepers this year. I feel like he hasn't done that at all. But I also think the emergence of Bam has limited his role as far as creating offense, handling the ball, being a distributor. Like, Bam is just so much better at it. Like, he's just taken so many of those possessions away from Kelly. And, like, what, are you going to complain about that? I mean, hot take Harry would. but, like, at some point, it's like you got to let Bam be Bam, you know? Okay, so I kind of want to close this out because I want to get ready for the Super Bowl because I've been paying attention to the NFL so much this season that I had no idea before like 2 weeks ago that Tom Brady even had a chance of being in the Super Bowl. That's how much I give a shit. So I want to get everyone's Super Bowl predictions. We're gonna do that show, Gianni, and I know it kind of makes you sick.
I like it.
But we're doing it. I like it. So Siobhan, I'll start with you. Your Super Bowl prediction. Who's going to win? And I don't – if you want to do a score, go ahead.
I got Kansas City because my family is Kansas City fans. Shout out to them. I got Kansas City and Pat. I don't really know if I have a score. I'm going to be audacious and say, like, by, like, 2 scores.
You're saying 42-28. Kansas City.
Boom, 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 boom.
Christian, you're going to get his flag. Stop it.
DMCA.
Gianni.
Yo.
Super Bowl prediction.
Wait, first,
I want your Tom Brady take.
Yeah. So I think that if
Give us all of your Brady takes.
Yeah, all your Brady takes.
Ooh.
From the chat.
So Tom has not been very great this year, especially in the playoffs. Like, he got his ass kicked by Aaron Rodgers and still somehow won, which is just whatever. Right. But I think Tom winning, not just for a minute, it's just funny that he would win not really having a good season. And the fact that, like, he's a noted cheater, I think adds to a level. Like, him winning makes Twitter mad, right? Like, only certain types of people like him, and most of our timelines hate him. So by Brady winning, it makes everyone mad, and it really emboldens cheaters, and I find that funny. But he's going to get his ass kicked by Mahomes, because Mahomes is one of the best fucking quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. That dude's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so you got Kansas City.
That was a rare
I don't have the money line, though.
That was a
it was like really weird. Like, his first good take was a football take.
I agree
with
all that.
So Kansas City's minus 3.5. I think they're going to win comfortably. Like, they're going
to. Also, you need to take a clipper
and do need all of
you're
this.
You're eating
fun.
Eating your mustache right now.
I am too.
Look at this hair.
No, come on. But, I mean,
I have a lot going on over here. Yeah, this is COVID central.
You don't need a barber to like do this part. And then clip that up.
I'm fostering.
Like it's like making me. It's giving me anxiety. Yeah. Like, half of your mustache is in your mouth while you're talking.
I thought of paying my barber $100 to get a COVID test in the morning on a day that he had off so he can cut me. I can't live like this anymore.
I have a barber who has his own spot in his garage. By the way, that's where I go.
Would he COVID test in the morning?
No, he doesn't have. It's him and one other person.
I don't. Anyway. I don't want to kill my mother. She's old.
Well, that's sweet. We spent way too much time on Gianni. Christian.
Chiefs by 7.
Love it. 48-41. Jack.
Yes, take the over.
I think Mahomes is like the GOAT. I think Brady, I'm fucking sick of seeing these graphics, like all of these like content outlets that have nothing better to write are like, is Tom Brady the greatest athlete in any sport of all time? And then the picture today was like in the background was Michael Jordan and Serena Williams and like Simone Biles and Michael Phelps. And it's like Tiger Woods. And it's like all of those guys are better than the guys.
The idea of athlete, sometimes I'm like, what the fuck are y'all talking? Have you seen Tom Brady's combat? Like, I might be able to beat him in a foot race. Like, what are we doing? Like, greatest athlete of all time? Like, I don't know. Maybe greatest competitor.
Yeah, it's like, whatever, man. He's probably
also
like,
was a lack of soccer players in that thing.
But also
just
individual sports. Like, how are you going to say that? I know it's a different measurement, but how are you going to, like, put him above a guy like, I don't know, like, Serena Williams or Michael Phelps or Roger Federer, who are like, the way they win is literally that they are better than the person on the other side or like in the pool with them. Tom Brady, like half the time he wins is because like
Gronk's
fucking
big.
Their kicker has like an amazing like, and it's like that has, he's not even on the, exactly. if you're not in bounds when you win the game, then you don't have an argument.
Impact on the win or the loss. I fucking agree.
I mean, win-loss for QBs is the dumbest fucking record. Like, it's just – but honestly, because football is so fucking stupid and, like, the analysis of it is, like, still stuck in the Stone Age, I do like the fact that if Tom Brady wins, there's going to be this big thing about how Belichick is a piece of shit coach and he was all Brady. And I do enjoy that. But it's honestly – it's, like, two different MAGA guys. Like, which one do I root for? Like, fuck them both. But I do like the fact that if Tom wins, Belichick is seen forever as like, oh, you were just a product of Brady. And I think Brady, just by virtue of getting here, has like killed that perception, which I still think is wrong. Because like G said, he just got his ass kicked.
The team's really good around him. Like,
he just got his ass kicked by Aaron Rodgers. Oh, head to head, which I love the QB head to head thing. Like, it's so stupid.
Shout out
to
Spoon.
Dumb.
Magical QB world. Shout out to Spoon. Brass, what is my take, I think Kansas City wins 32-21. I don't even know if that's like a good football score. Like, it's
I
really
think you,
dumb.
You gave two different scores, but Kansas City won both.
No, I was just giving other people's scores to them.
Oh, I got
you. It was like 48 to 20.
Blowout. I said 48 to some. I don't know. 42-28 for Siobhan. Because she said by two
scores.
Can
we do prop bets? Can we do like funny prop bets that I've pulled up when Brass gives his prediction?
Go ahead.
No, Brass.
After Brass. Brass, go ahead.
Fucking taking over the show over here.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus, you know how he does, man.
I was asking.
He's lucky. Like I don't fucking. I kind of even feel like doing the show.
I thought I was good today.
I don't know about the score. I think. I think Kansas City wins by 9 points. That's my.
I thought I was good today.
31-22.
I just can't believe people are rooting for Brady.
It's gross. Well, and nationally, I would love to see a list of the people that are rooting for Brady. Or, you know, talk about Brady as like, oh, he's the GOAT, the best ever.
Karate.
But those are the same people that will, if he loses, those are the same people that slander LeBron for all of his finals losses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Karate.
Capital Starlet.
So I want to see the mental gymnastics they take after that.
Have you seen how long he kisses his kids on the mouth?
Oh, he doesn't deserve anything good.
It's really nasty.
Disgusting.
But you have a – that was a really
– I knew that was fucking coming, man.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.